We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, alrighty, alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio, the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming capital, Las Vegas, Nevada. And we welcome you to the show on the YouTube South Point Streamings Network. Just go to YouTube and hit South Point Streaming, and after that, you go to Race Day, you get our page, and you can see and hear us, and a little TV show here. Not to mention the fact that if you subscribe, you can get in all the action on the chat box on our page. And, of course, subscription is free. If you haven't already done it, try it. It's fun. They're chatting away already on the chat box for today here at Race Day. And if you're running around town here in Las Vegas, you're probably listening to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of our websites streaming our shows as well on racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google Phone. Got you covered with the apps. Just go to the KSHP app so you can hear us through the radio station, the YouTube app. Of course, you can see and hear us through the YouTube app as well. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. We welcome you to the Race Day Las Vegas show on this Wednesday as we start another week of covering the great sport of kings from the Las Vegas perspective. And we welcome you to the show. Well, This week, coming up, the center of attention now goes to Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs will have six stakes races on Saturday. One grade two, three grade threes among those six. And, of course, the key race of the day at Tampa Bay will be the Tampa Bay Derby, because it holds Kentucky Derby leaderboard points. The Tampa Bay Derby has 50 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. And, of course, the Tampa Bay Oaks will also be on tap. It will not hold any points for the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, but it is still a prep for the Kentucky Oaks there at Tampa Bay. And, of course, there'll be four other great stakes races there. And all of the other racetracks, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Laurel, Santa Anita, they'll have two stakes races apiece. Oaklawn Park, of course, will have the Grade 2 race, the Aziri, which the horse of the year, Torpedo Anna, will return to the races for her 2025 debut in the Aziri coming up on Saturday at Oaklawn Park. In that race, she will face other stakes horses in that race, and of course she will break from the rail. Torpedo will break from the rail in a field of seven. Seven go in the race. She is drawn the rail for that race. The horse of the year, Torpedo Anna, goes on Saturday as well. And an interesting Beholder Stakes out at Santa Anita, where there's a field of six, and Bob Baffert once again has multiple stakes winners in there. I should say multiple winners going for stakes in there. And that is, of course, he has two in there, Richie and Cavallari. However, Brad Cox brings in Tarifa for that event at Santa Anita. Those are the big races coming up this weekend. As far as some other news in racing, believe it or not, there was a big, big article in the New York Times, a big essay that went over horse racing, and it was it had a negative connotation to it because it didn't give you all of that, and so a rebuttal column is on the bloodhorse.com website. You got to go to bloodhorse.com, and you got to read the article. A model that works for racing, states and taxpayers. The rebuttal to the New York Times article that came up. It was published in the New York Times, I believe, on the February 28th, the essay on racing. And amongst the things that they're talking about is the lack of attendance at racetracks. But what I think they don't understand is that the game is changing with technology like every other sport and every other business is. There are many, lots of people like you and me and all of a lot of the people here in the race book, et cetera, that are now playing the races, watching it through television. We got two cable networks that are dedicated to horse racing. And so you can watch it within the comfort of your home, your office, or whatever. Use your apps, use your internet, whatever you do to bet. So in 2023, there was $11.6 billion bet on horse racing, but only 6% of that $11.6 billion was bet on the track. So the game is not dead; it's just changing. But when those folks, you know, that do these type of reports that don't look at the entire picture and just take a look at one side of it, walk in the racetrack on a Wednesday when it's raining out or something, and think that that's going to be the crowd. It's really doing a disservice to our industry. And so I just wanted to make that point. Racing is not dead. It's just changing. Okay. Let's see. Oh, Nisos. Bob Baffert's Nisos. Remember, he's 3-for-3 since, in his racing career. He hasn't raced since February of last year. So it's over a year that this horse has been gone. But Nisos is back on the work tab at Santa Anita. Worked 5 furlongs in 102.4 seconds at Santa Anita. And we're guessing that I believe that was his third or fourth workout. So he's getting close to working up to getting back to racing. We'll wait and see where Nisos shows up there in Southern California. Congratulations to Kendrick Carmouche. He became the winner of the George Wolfe Memorial Jockey Award of 2025. Kendrick Carmouche will accept that honor at Santa Anita coming up soon, the George Wolfe Memorial Jockey Award awarded to Kendrick Carmouche. This is a an award that is voted on by his peers. Other jockeys vote for the jockey in the George Wolfe Award. Nobody else. No writers. Nobody anywhere else. Just the jockeys. So it's a an honorable award to get that your peers vote for you. And so congratulations to Kendrick Carmouche for that. Trainer Todd Pletcher and trainer Gustavo Delgado are going to get a seven-day suspension for drug violations. Haisa said they had positives late last year, and so they will be sitting out this week. They'll start tomorrow and run through next Monday. Todd Pletcher, Gustavo Delgado, getting seven-day suspensions from Haisa for a violation. Trainer Chad Brown is going to be really busy at Tampa Bay Downs on Saturday. Of the six stakes races that Tampa Bay is offering on Saturday, Chad Brown has nine horses entered in them. He has two for the Derby, two for the Hillsborough Stakes, one for the Sands Point, two for the Oaks, and two for the Columbia Stakes. He's only going to have one stakes race out of the six that he has no entrance in, but he has nine horses heading for Tampa Bay Downs for Saturday's racing program there. And another note just came across the wires yesterday. The New York Racing Association has fired the starter and the clerk of scales turned in his resignation. So there's going to be a new starter that starts these horses, and there's going to be a new clerk of scales that checks the weight as they move into the race and out of the race before it becomes official. Two key spots there in the New York Racing Association, but that happened over the weekend as well. On today's show, we got handicappers Jonathan Hardoon. Hey, Dwayne Carlucci is coming back from the Rampart from last Wednesday. Remember, last Wednesday he gave us a winner on Saturday. So Carlucci is back with us today. Rich Angleby along with us, John Lindo, and of course Jerry Jackowitz as well to give us a thought or two about another gambling angle, I guess. And we have for you also the NTRA polls and the the leaderboard update. As a matter of fact, we'll go right to the Kentucky Derby leaderboard now. Before this weekend and after the races over the last weekend, here's how it shakes out. Cole Battle is on top with 70 points. Citizen Bull, who's waiting for his next start in Southern California, has 60. Sovereignty, a winner over the weekend, has 60. Flood Zone over the weekend has 50. Journalism, I don't get this, but Journalism has 47.5, 47 and a half points. Journalism has. Getaway Car has 36. Built is in seventh place. He has 35. Matticat Road has 31. Burnham Square has 30. And Sandman has 29. That's the top 10, in the leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby. As far as the Kentucky Oaks is concerned, a Quiet Side, winner of a most recent Oaks prep race and leaderboard point getter, is at the top with 68. Drexel Hill, another recent winner in a point getter, is 57. La Cara has 51. Good Cheer has 45. The Queens MG has 43 and a half points. Tenma, who goes this weekend, no, it does not, I'm sorry. Tenma has 33. 5G has 25. Mohima has 25 as well. Armath has 25. And Maysam has 25. And that's the top 10 in the Oaks. Now, taking a look at the NTRA poll. Oh, I should say, we'll wait for the NTRA poll. What I wanted to say was for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard update, here are the races left that have points to them here in America. There are 10 more races left after Saturday's Tampa Bay Derby. Tampa Bay Derby has 50 points. There'll be one race left with 50, and then they bump it up to the 100-pointers. The 100-pointers, there'll be eight races that have 100 points for the Kentucky Derby Future Book is starting throughout this month and April. One of them, of course, includes the UAE Derby and Maidan Racecourse on Dubai World Cup Day. Then we have one left with 20 points. And, of course, that's the Lexington. That'll be the last race with any points, and it'll be on the 12th of April. Usually what the Lexington does that has that 20 points is a horse that looks like he's on the cusp of getting in the top 20 and needs a couple more points either way. They send him into the Lexington to see if they really want to go to the Kentucky Derby to see if they can bump in to the top 20 for that. But that's it. Only 10 more left after Saturday's Tampa Bay Derby. As I say, 8 of them, though, will have 100 points. And that will definitely be, those 8 will definitely be qualified to go into the Kentucky Derby if all the parts stay in the right place. So we will wait and see about that. All right. Time to get started with the race day show. We got Jonathan Ardoon, Dwayne Carlucci, Rich Eng, John Leno, Jerry J. Your racing menu is coming up. And we'll give you the NTRA poll as well right after we take this first break. So don't go away. And start chatting on the chat box there at the race day page. Just don't forget to subscribe if you haven't. It's free. And we'll be right back on this Wednesday show. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes 2 XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Look at the NTRA poll. This is the top thoroughbred pool NTRA on as of today, March 3rd. The top three-year-olds, Citizen Bull is at the top, Journalism is second, Sovereignty third, Cole Battle is fourth, and Barnes is fifth. Barnes is fifth, even though he was defeated over the weekend. And then the bottom five to make up the top ten include John Hancock, Disco Time, Flood Zone, River Thames, and Captain Cook. As far as the top thoroughbred poll overall, White Abario is on top. Locked is now pushed into second place off of that win in the Santa Anita Handicap, and a powerful win that was. Torpedo Anna, that goes on Saturday, and her 2025 debut is third. Sierra Leone is fourth, and Straight No Chaser, the sprinter who won recently in Saudi Arabia, rounds out the top five. In the other five, Mind Frame is sixth, Fierceness, Spirit of St. Louis for Every Young, and Hall of Fame round out the NTRA Thoroughbred poll for this week. Now, as far as the weather is concerned, here in Las Vegas, we're going to have our temperatures going to be topping out at 66. We're in the mid to high 40s right outside right now, but it's going to top off at 66 here in Las Vegas, and it's going to be a beautiful day. The sun is shining outside. As far as the other temperatures, Miami 82, New York is 56 with rain, Chicago 51 with rain, Phoenix, Arizona 77, Los Angeles, looks like LA is going to get a little rain today with 58 degrees there, but there's no racing in Southern California today. Anyhow, as far as the precipitation is concerned, a lot of snow going up through Iowa, you got Minnesota and Wisconsin, etc., right up into Canada, and before that, another swirl coming through the East Coast that includes all of the East Coast, really, with a lot of rain, etc. So there's a lot of action going on from Midwest to the East Coast as far as rain and snow is concerned. And in northern Nevada, here in northern Nevada, we're getting some snow in the Sierras along California, a little snow. And, of course, rain throughout central California and going into southern California a bit there. So we'll wait and see how that shakes out for the races. 6 racetracks only, just 6 tracks on our racing menu today. So let's get started with that racing menu. Reminding you, as we always do, first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day. Reflect that at the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas, in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening in any other time zone, on all of the other platforms that we have around the world, just adjust from the Pacific, whatever time zone you're in, to the Pacific time zone, tweak it out, and then you won't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, we begin with Parks Racing. Parks Racing has 10 races today, and Parks has a pick five jackpot carryover, $39,807, $39,807, 10 races at Parks today, first post time, 9:05. Mahoning Valley Racecourse is next. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $15,955. Mahoning Valley has not eight races, and their first post time at Mahoning Valley is set at 9:15. Then we go to Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs has nine races today. Their first post time is at 9:40. Tampa Bay Downs pick six jackpot carryover, $9,237. First post time Tampa Bay today, 9:40 for their nine races. Gulfstream Park. Their first post time is at 9:50 at Gulfstream. You remember that on Sunday they gave the mandatory payoff in the pick six there. It all went out on Sunday. So Gulfstream Park starts their pick six jackpot anew today. They are coming off the turf, we understand, at Gulfstream Park today. So the second race, the fifth race, and the ninth. The second, fifth, and ninth races will come off the turf today at Gulfstream. Their first post time is sitting at 9:50. Turf Paradise, first couple of races will be quarter horses, and the last seven will be thoroughbreds. That makes up the nine race card at Turf Paradise today in Phoenix, Arizona. And their first post time at Turf Paradise is set at 11:55 at Turfway at Turf Paradise. Turfway Park has a first post time of 2:55. Their pick six jackpot carryover today at Turfway, $99,581. $99,581, 10 races today at Turfway and a first post time of 2:55. And that is the racing menu for today. And talking about some of the top payoffs from yesterday, top payoff yesterday, Turf Paradise, the pick six jackpot went down. $70,967.40 was the payoff in Turf Paradise's pick six jackpot that was taken down yesterday. We congratulate them for that. That's for sure. As far as Gulfstream Park and the pick six carryover that was a mandatory payoff with the jackpot on Sunday, in those races, you had a 440 winner that started off, then you had a 1080 winner, followed by a 960 winner, a $4 winner, a 1680 winner, and a $5 winner. So a lot of people had it. Six out of six paid $1,209.24. $1,209.24 in the jackpot with the big mandatory payoff. And again, a lot of winners there with those prices. And as far as Santa Anita is concerned, I want to thank Rich Ang for his winner that he gave us on Sunday. The ninth race winner there, Lady Gregory, got a perfect trip under Hector Barrios, of course, on the turf for Jeff Mullins. Lady Gregory paid $6.80 there. Tiago Piera had a couple of wins. He won the seventh race for Steve Knapp at $5.80. And won the 11th race, the last race on the card for Hector Palma, that paid $35 even at Santa Anita on Sunday. All right, let's go out to Jonathan Hardoon standing by right now. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Doing good. Did that mandatory payoff at Gulfstream, without the extra money in there that had to be distributed, that thing probably would have paid about, $700?
Yeah, maybe less than that, to be honest with you. It kind of chalked out. I mean, and they were wide open, hard races. People were smart.
All right, now I got to ask you about this. It came across yesterday that two key personnel people at the New York Racing Association, the guy who checks the weights on the jockeys as they leave the jocks room and as they come back after the race to weigh in, because they're weighing in. They weigh into the race when they leave the jockey's room. They weigh out of the race when they come after they pull up to make the race official, to make sure they carried their proper weight, okay? The clerk of scales was let go, and the clerk of scales resigned, okay? the starter, the guy who starts the race and makes sure that all the horses are set and ready to go and starts the race, was fired. What's going on?
I have no idea. If you remember, Borrelio Baeza, who is now a steward at Niagara, he was either fired. He was originally the clerk of scales also, right, after he retired. And he had some problem. I guess he was wrongly accused of something, and he was fired. And he ended up coming back as the steward. But I don't know. That's an important job, Ralph. You know, it doesn't seem like it's important, but you have to make sure these guys are riding with the right weight and making sure when they came back that they carried the right weight. So it's really an important job. But this guy resigned. I'm sure we'll hear more about it down the road.
Now, I'm going to give you a short story about this, because they say there's a million ways of losing a race and only one way to win it. When your horse's number is in the first place and it becomes official, that's when you know you won the race. Everything else, stuff can happen.
Anything could happen.
Okay, and I've got one of those stories with the clerk of scales. I'm sitting with a friend of mine. Years ago, we were playing the races, I believe at the Sands, because a good friend of ours, Rick Heron, who's no longer with us, was the was a director there. So we went there and we were playing the races. And I bet this race at Golden Gate, and the horse wins, and the horse was going to pay like something like $30. He was like 15-1. And we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. He weighs out and everything, you know, the tractors are coming by and everything is quiet and ready, and we're waiting for the replay and all that. But I'm waiting for this thing to become official. And then the announcer comes out and said the horse was disqualified because the jockey did not have the proper weight when he weighed back out of the race. And it was like, when you think that you can't do it that way, trust me, I have experienced a loss that way. I mean, it was just amazing. So it is an important job.
Yeah, I heard it happened in New York also many years ago, where they were waiting and waiting and waiting. It was the old-fashioned tote delay without there being a tote delay. It was the steward's delay figuring out what to do because the guy returned without carrying the right weight, and he also got disqualified. So I have heard about it in the past. Listen, it happens once every 10 years or so, but it does happen.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is, you normally during an inquiry, you're waiting for, you know, the lights are blinking and the announcer is saying something. And he comes out and he says, good or bad, he says, no change or change. But when this happens, it's like the next race is coming up, everything. Nobody's saying anything until, you know, they finally make the ruling and decision. You have no idea while, the official sign hasn't gone up yet. You figure, well, maybe it's a technical thing. And that was the thing that got me the most. It was, what? You know, you're going, what? Yeah.
It's always a way. Yeah, always.
But in any case, so we got the Tampa Bay Derby coming up this weekend. And, the usual suspects. Chad Brown's going to be loaded out there. I would imagine that Ploppy and Pratt will probably show up there on this weekend. And, of course, Torpedo Anna goes in the Aziri, making her 25 debut. I guess if you're going to try to beat Torpedo Anna, it might be on Saturday, right?
Yeah, usually your first race back, you know, you're not fully cranked, and they probably, you know, want to take it easy with her. She has a long campaign ahead of her this year, obviously going to end in the Breeders' Cup. But you're right, Ralph, if you're going to try to beat her, it probably will be this week. But we didn't see the field that's in against her, so we still have time to figure it out.
And I will say another thing. I don't know if you read the column that appeared in the New York Times on the 28th, the essay on racing. But you got what you have to do, and I'll ask you your opinion, tomorrow after you read it. But you got to read the rebuttal that's on Blood Horse. I thought it was well done. And
but here's the problem. 10 million people read the New York Times.
Yeah.
How many people read the Blood Horse? That's why I don't even bother reading the New York Times, because I know it's a hit piece. What's the point? Anybody that knows anything about racing is going to know when they put these articles in the paper, they're only out to bash horse racing. So why should I even bother reading it? And that's just the way I feel. So,
but you're right about that. But you're also right about the amount of people that read the New York Times, and a lot of people who are not privy to racing and has the opinion you have when they say, well, you know, I know it's going to be a hit job on racing, if they don't know that. and they take a look at that. That's just bad PR for racing.
It is. It's like when they do a retraction. They put it on page 53 of the New York Times. You know, after they destroyed somebody, they'll go to page 53. We retracted the story. We were wrong. Well, guess what? I don't need that. It's nonsense. There's enough horrible things going on in this game that you don't need people piling on. And if you care about it, like me personally, I just ignore those articles. They mean nothing to me.
And, you know, I could say this, that they say, well, you know, you go to the racetrack, but I, you know, said earlier how much money is bet off track now, et cetera. And it's the same thing, let's say, with baseball, with all those games in baseball. You can go to any baseball stadium on a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening and see that the stands may be half empty, but there's plenty of baseball fans out there. They're just watching it on TV, and now that they can sports bet, they're sports betting it, you know, so...
Especially with horse racing. Listen, less and less people go to the track every day. You got to pay for gas to get there. You got to pay for admission to get there. Yeah. You got to pay for everything. You could sit home and bet from your computer or from your phone without being in attendance. So it's really misleading, and it's really a misrepresentation, and it's wrong.
Yes. I mean, now horse racing, you know, you go to the races for an event when it's a big event. But you still participate. A lot of people participate every day. It's just that they may only go for Santa Anita Handicap or the Tampa Bay Derby, right?
Everyone's playing on their phones, Ralph. So.
All right, well, let's get a pick or two on the phone today, buddy.
All right, we're going to look. First of all, two radio plays comes in the fifth race today at Gulfstream, which will now be run on Tapita. Well, I like the same horse, whether it was turf or Tapita, and I love the number two horse in here, Classic Motown. This is a five-year-old gelding from the Martin Drexler barn, and he's having a terrific meet. This horse's last race was at Gulfstream on Tapita, and he ran a big figure. He had trouble in that race. It was a full field of 11. Number two, Classic Motown, upsets and wins today's fifth race at Gulfstream at 10-1 on the morning line.
Well, that's the morning line, 10-1, but you got Joel Rosario aboard. So on the fifth race, the anchor in the early pick five and early pick four at Gulfstream Park today, the two-horse Classic Motown. Classic Motown is the play there, fifth race, the two-horse.
Let's go to Tampa Bay. Look at race seven, a mile on the turf. And this selection is for turf only. I checked the website. It said fast and firm. So hopefully the race is on the grass and stays on the grass. Mm-hmm. Seventh race today, number seven, Magic Heart, a four-year-old colt from the Tim Shoe Barn. Antonio Gallardo aboard to ride. 10-1 on the morning line. This horse is sneaky good. He ran very well two starts back. I like number seven, Magic Heart, 10-1 on the morning line to upset and win today's seventh race out of Tampa Bay Downs.
Ooh, doggy, you gave us two 10-1 shots on the morning line. This one, seventh race at Tampa Bay, the seven, Magic Heart, the seven and the seventh, easy to remember. And Jonathan has full sheets, of course, for both Tampa Bay and Gulfstream Park today at his website.
JONHARDOON.com.
All right, Jonathan, thanks a lot, my man, for your input. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. Okay, we will be right back. Next up in the batter's box is Mr. Rich Eng. So don't go away. We'll return.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village, this beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Richie. Standing by. Richie, good morning.
Good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right, my man. And, of course, an interesting weekend of racing, and we got the Tampa Bay Derby coming up for us this weekend, and then it's not going to be too far down the road where we're going to get those 100-pointers going for the Kentucky Derby, and that's when stuff really starts happening, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, and then, you know, the Tampa race should be terrific. I know a horse that I'm real interested in watching is Patch Adams from Brad Cox, because that horse just did not run a good race last time out, had some excuses, but this is a rebound race. It's either now or never to get back on the road to the Derby.
Yeah, no kidding. That is for sure. I can't wait to see him run in that race. I was kind of interested to see how he'd bounce back as well. And, of course, the 2024 Horse of the Year, Torpedo Anna, goes at Oaklawn Park in the Azari.
Yeah, you know, that. I tell you what, you know, I'm so happy that Kenny McPeak is riding her again as a four-year-old, because I know when I was writing for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Ralph, every once in a while I would write a column about the fact that the industry as a whole, the horse racing industry, should be promoting more fillies and mares, you know, for publicity, because they have longer racing careers. I mean, one reason she didn't go to stud is because she can only have one offspring, while a stallion can have 100. So, you know, fillies and mares will have longer runs on the racetrack, and we should publicize them more.
Yep, and she's a goodie, that's for sure. We'll wait and see how she does. She breaks from the rail on Saturday. Looking ahead to, we're in March now. And we're getting close to March Madness. Of course, the selection show is what? Was 2 weeks from Saturday?
Well, it's going to be on the Sunday, like in a couple of weeks.
Sunday, yeah. Okay. 2 weeks from this past Sunday will be the selection show. But a lot of the, of course, conference tournaments will be starting soon. So we're going to get you ready to start giving us picks on the race day show each day. But for today, we'll take a horse pick from you.
Yeah, let me see if I can go 2 for 2. Finally broke the ice on Sunday, but with Lady Gregory. Perfect ride by Hector Barrios.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the opener at Gulfstream Park. It's not affected by off the turf. It's on the main track, a mile. Let's go with what I consider a surest type winner. The number 3, No Other Like You, Junior Alvarado, riding for Riley Mott. This horse dropping way down in class. And last time out, Ralph, improved with Lasix and blinkers on. I think this horse is might be a short price, but rather than a long face. Let's go with the 3, No Other Like You.
Well, we can get a singleton in the early pick 5 with this one in the first race at Gulfstream. First post time Pacific time is 9:50 this morning. In that first race, you like the 3, No Other Like You, the 3 horse in the first race at Gulfstream, Rich Ang's pick. And Richie, we'll let you get back to business, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. Now we're going to go to Dwayne Carlucci, standing by at the Rampart, our Rampart man. Last Wednesday, he gave us a horse on Saturday that he liked on that big card at Santa Anita. That horse reported home in a great finish and a great ride by Umberto Rispoli. That formidable man paid $12.20. Dwayne, good morning, man.
What's up, Ralph? How you been, buddy? Definitely was a good weekend at Santa. We capped it off too Sunday. Had a real good day. You got to watch that Hector Palma and Tiago Pereira combination. They've been popping at large, large prices, and we were able to cap off the pick 5 on Sunday late. So that was a great weekend. Journalism was just fabulous as well, you know, in that Derby prep race. So we're going to see if we could carry it and keep it going.
And I was going to ask you about that, too. So out of the races for three-year-olds over the weekend, you think the journalism probably had the best race, although I would imagine that the other two were right there, too.
Yeah, I tell you, that Sovereignty, that last – 100 yards wow. that Junior wow. motivated that horse. That was just an incredible kick. So that shows that this horse could definitely go to distance. And, you know, when you're dealing with a layoff like that too, Ralph, that was impressive. So it was really close. You know, I saw the Gordy buyer that journalism got, mm-hmm. but definitely, you know, the Mott horse is right there. So he definitely is going to be tough come Florida Derby in a couple of weeks. So we got to keep our eye on this. Barnes, he ran pretty good. I'll be honest with you. You know, he just got overpowered, but he's in a learning phase. And if he could get the distance, he definitely could be a factor. Never count Bob Baffert out.
Well, all I could tell you is that that Mott horse that came, I mean, he came from dead last in the Fountain of Youth. That's something you just don't see that often at Gulfstream Park. That was an impressive run, that's for sure. And, of course, we got Torpedo Anna coming up this weekend in her 2025 debut. I guess if you're going to try to beat her, maybe this is her first start back is the time to do it.
I don't know about that. The horse is unbelievable. She's a tank, and I think she's going to win pretty easy. But, you know, you're going to see 1-9 on her. So I don't think there's much value there. But you're right. If you're going to beat a horse of that caliber, now would definitely be the time. Maybe, you know, a little light in training, you know, that the screws aren't really tightened. They're going to be tightened for Saratoga and, you know, the big meets like that, maybe Keeneland or what have you. So, you know, definitely incapable hands, and she is the champion. We'll see. BJ will definitely be at the controls, and what a beautiful racehorse. She brings so much to the game,
yeah.
and such a high talent level with the great fillies, you know, of the Zenyattas, the Personal Ensigns, the Ruffians, mm-hmm. the Rachel Alexandras. Just fun to see.
And, of course, Tampa Bay Derby coming up this weekend. Some of the horses in that race are kind of horses that need a little bit of a gut check right now, and we'll wait and see how that race turns out.
Yeah, maybe Hill Road, but, you know, now changing barns, now in Chad Brown's barn, still in an inactivity period, you know, like Sovereignty off of, you know, the Breeders' Cup. Maybe this horse could be a top-notch three-year-old, but that remains to be seen. Has to navigate a trip, too. You don't want to see him have to do what he had to do at Del Mar to even get third place that day. You know, very difficult at Tampa to make up a ton of ground. That track has tight turns. You have to have the right trip. We have Chancer is back in there. Chancer McPatrick, you know, he hasn't been seen as well. A highly touted East Coast Kentucky Derby runner. And like you said earlier, I heard you say Chad Brown has the deck stacked here. You always have you know, a chance with Owen Almighty as well. Brian Lynch, keep your eye on that horse. But there's never been a Spikestown horse, Ralph, that has gone the Derby trail. So keep that in mind. Spikestown was a great sprinter.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, to get those classic distances, it's kind of tough on the breeding side, but definitely has a chance. I like Hill Road, though, in the race. You know, Patch Adams kind of disappointed me last time. You know, I really had a lot on him in that race. And, you know, he just kind of stayed fourth and, you know, he made a middle move, but I'm expecting more out of him, but I'm not so sure if he could get the job done here. But he has the race at least under his belt and is going to take a ton of money. We know that barn. We know what it's all about when you're dealing with Brad Cox and probably Guru. You said Pratt will definitely show up there. I agree with that as well. So we'll see who has the mounts and where they go.
All right. Well, we're looking for a little bankroll builder before the weekend. And Dwayne, you've been good with us on Wednesday. So what are we doing today?
Well, you know, I like Turfways on Wednesday nights. It brings an extra flavor to the Gulfstream and Tampa cards there that are earlier in the day. So I like in the second race here, I actually have the number three horse, Flicker. J.D. Ramos will take the mount. And, you know, Whitworth Beckman is just a fabulous trainer. He's worked for so many legends in the past. And now he has his own spinoff stable. Only 5-2, but, you know, hopefully this horse will break a lot better. He's dropping down the claiming ranks. Definitely into a right spot, and I think if he breaks well, he should trounce this field.
All right, so in the second race, first race post time is 2:55 Pacific time, so about a half an hour after that, the second race will come up, and then the second race, Dwayne likes the three Flicker, number three Flicker in the second race tonight at Turfway Park. And Dwayne, just what's going on there at Rampart this week?
Oh, tons of horse racing again, Ralph. And like you said, we're leading into March Madness. We're going to take care of the horse players. We had an unbelievable handle. I can't thank our patrons enough. I mean, the handle over this past weekend was incredible. Even on Monday, we had a tremendous vibe. And Fat Tuesday, the fairgrounds cards. And, you know, we love the horse racing. I'm a big horse racing advocate. I was on the track. My dad had me there from when I was in the stroller. So horse racing's going nowhere at the Rampart. We take care of our horse players. We have the best comp ratio system in town. Come out and see us. We're very liberal. We're racing Forbes as long as you play a little bit. We still got the drink tickets going on. We got everything at the Rampart. We're not holding anything back. And remember, free parking, that's huge. We still have a buffet. A great, great locals hidden gem. If you're up at Summerlin, come and see me. I'll take care of you. I'm going to be there this weekend and enjoying the horse racing and the college basketball.
Well, all I could say is when you go to the Rampart up there in Summerlin, when you see Dwayne Carlucci, tell him that Race Day sent you. How about that?
That's right. That's right. And I'll hook you right up. Just say, mention this show, and I'll buy you a drink right off the bat. Just say that Ralph and Race Day sent you. You get a drink ticket on me right off the bat. Just come to the counter.
That's what we like to hear. Hey, thanks a lot, Dwayne. And we will talk to you next Wednesday on your regular guest spot.
I appreciate it, Ralph. Definitely talk to you Wednesday. Thanks for everything.
All right. You got it, my man. We will take our final break. And when we come back, John Lindo's standing by and Jerry Jackowitz has got to be out there somewhere. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, time to go out to Southern California where John Lindo's standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. How's the weather out there? A little rain, maybe?
It's coming today. I think there's a 98% chance of rain in L.A. I know the Santa Anita main track closes at 8 o'clock this morning in a few minutes in anticipation of that rain. So supposed to have rain off and on throughout the day, and then another storm comes in Thursday night. I don't think we're going to get a lot of rain, but we are going to get some in the next couple of days in Southern California.
Well, let's hope it bob and weaves around any chances of cancellation for Santa Anita coming up this weekend. We got that nice Beholder coming up on, I believe it's on, what, Sunday or Saturday?
Yeah, the Beholder Mile is this week, and I don't have it in front of me here. I think it's on Saturday, but don't hold me to that. But it's a Grade 1 event, so it's an important race for the fillies and mares, and it always brings out a good field, and Bob Baffert, as usual, will be represented. He's got Cavallari in there, and we'll see. I think Brad Cox is bringing out Tamara, so mm-hmm.
Tarifa.
Tarifa?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, six go in the race, and Baffert also brings back that Chilean horse, so Richie, who looked like she was really going to be something in her last race, and we will wait and see about that. So he has Richie breaking from the rail, Cavallari will break from three post, and Brad Cox has Tarifa breaking from post five. Mike Smith's getting the mount on Brad Cox's horse, so I would imagine that Flavian will probably be at Tampa Bay. It's probably happening.
Yeah, he's not listed. They haven't drawn Tampa yet, but I'm assuming he's riding for Chad Brown at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and so with that being said, this race is probably on Saturday, the Beholder. But nevertheless, it's going to be a good race.
Absolutely. And hey, I want to make one note, Ralph. Do you think the extra 85 feet of run-up helped Sovereignty get up in the last two jumps there in the Fountain of Youth?
I don't know. All I know is he did something at that racetrack that I haven't seen all year long at Gulfstream, coming on the main track like that from a zip code behind the rest of the field and just had one tremendous run. And I got to tell you, the fractions were not suicidal that would create that to happen. He just picked up a lot of horses that were still running.
He's a really good horse, and I think he needed that race. He's only going to get better. I want to give a shout-out, too, Ralph, to Daily Racing Form. You know, they don't have it in the hard copy PPs, but if you get the past performances online and you use their Formulator program, they do have the run-up at each racetrack around the country as to where the gate placements are to give you an idea. Uh-huh. And just a quick note as a variance, at Churchill Downs, 6 furlongs, the run-up is 200 feet. And at Pimlico, the next leg of the Triple Crown, the 6 furlong starts on the pole. There's zero run-up. So that's why you'll see a quarter mile in a 6 furlong race at Churchill in 21-3, and you'll get the same horses come back. And at Pimlico, maybe they go the first quarter in 23-2.
Yeah, and that was a case, too, in California when Golden Gate was running and Bay Meadows were running. I think that they had their 6 furlong shoot. Their horses were breaking right on the timer because of the fact that they didn't have a little more in the backstretch to
exactly. Yeah, no room behind the gate there. That's where the track ended.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, California players kept that in mind. And it's a very important, I think, in 6 furlong races when you start with a run up or certainly from a flat foot like that. So, and it's in the Daily Racing Form website.
It's in their Formulator past performances. You know, it's right there. They have more room to obviously to spread out the past performances online. So if you use those, you know, you can take a look at that and see the differences.
John, before I let you go, schedule for the Lindo Report this week.
We've got Gulfstream Park tomorrow. We'll do Santa Anita, obviously, with the Coast to Coast, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I want to see what that Tampa card looks like on Saturday. Maybe we'll do the last 5 races there on that Tampa Bay Derby card, support them.
All right. Well, you keep the rain away, at least from the racing perspective and in Southern California, although we all need a little bit more of that rain here in the Southwest. But let's see if we can bob and weave around it with the racing cards, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. You got it. John Lindo. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz for his betting words of wisdom today. Jerry, good morning.
All right. So we're going to be bobbing and weaving, eh? Very good.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. So, you know, we talk about all types of different, amongst ourselves, different ways of betting, different, and almost never do we discuss the simple win bet. And I've done studies over the last 40 years, 50 years that I've been playing horses, and others I have done as well. And in terms of the most efficient or best way to make money, nothing really outperforms the simple win bet over the long period of time.
You know? All right, I need to ask you this then, because we've got about a minute left, and I do want to ask you this question. With the CAW money coming in late in the races and horses that break out of the starting gate at maybe 7-2, wind up winning at 2-1 and pay $6, does that make a difference with your philosophy about the win bet?
Well, you know, at the moment that it happens, it does. If you bet the horse that got bet down,
right,
you know, you think you should get 5-2 and you're getting 8-5, you
right,
feel pretty bad about it. But those horses that do take a lot of money don't always win. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect. And when they lose, they create an overlay on somebody else.
So that late CAW money should not affect your thought about the basic.
I don't think in the long run it will. Okay. I don't think in the long run.
All right, because I got
to
tell you.
I can't swear to it. I mean, we're talking about the future, but understanding the value of the win bet and how important it is to have unit control, that you bet the same amounts from race to race to race, that whenever, you know, or from position to position, you can bet two horses in one race, you should make 2 full bets.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have certainly served you very well on your 48-1 shot had you done that.
Right.
I will say there is one caveat. When you're betting 20 to 1 shots, you're better off splitting it to win one-third, two-thirds to place.
Okay, good enough. And that's a great way of wrapping up our show today because, you know, picking winners is only half the equation. Money management and looking for value is always a key as well to winning money, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Jerry, and we will, of course, talk with you tomorrow. In the meantime, as you always do, you have the last word on the show. So as we wrap up this Wednesday show for the beginning of the week, go ahead and say it.
Have a great race day.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.